Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website, which I will post a link to below. And John, you wrote an article that was published on Seeking Alpha recently that had some very interesting charts in it. It dealt with market valuation, or really overvaluation when it comes to the market, and you pointed to a few things, one being margin debt that has just absolutely skyrocketed. Take us through a little summary of this article and outline some of the key points that you outlined, again, showing that, well, the market is in a ridiculous bubble.
Hey, Corey. Yeah, I feel like I have to go back to the, you know, the stock bubble every month or two just because it's so damn obvious, you know, and there, plus there's a lot of visuals that you can use in a post about how overvalued the stock market is, because there are charts of every major indicator that all look kind of the same way. You know, they go up in 1999 and then crash, and then back up in 2007 and then crash. And now they're way higher than they were in those past instances of market bubbles. So obviously we're in another bubble. And, margin debt is a really interesting and easy to understand one, because it is debt that is created when people borrow against their stocks to buy more stocks, which means that they're betting on an unbroken string of higher markets going forward by making themselves very vulnerable to even a mild correction. And what happens usually when margin debt gets beyond a certain point, a correction comes along, which is no big deal in its own right, but it forces all of these margin investors to close out a bunch of positions in order to pay off their margin debt, and that turns a correction into a bear market or a crash. And so we're there again based on the charts. You know, we've got margin debt going straight up, which in the past, every time it's happened, was followed by stocks going straight down. So anybody with a sense of history would look at this, and, you know, I call this a ridiculous market in the title, and it is ridiculous when you think about how many times this has happened in the past, for someone to margin themselves to the hilt to buy stocks today, you know. Yeah, and so many people are doing it. So, maybe this time is different, but, there are always reasons. And in the past, it has never been the case where we reached this point in valuation and ended up having another two or three great years ahead of us. It just never happened. So if history still matters, a crash is coming. If this time is different, then we have a really interesting year when things that have never happened before in history will happen.
So John, in all fairness, the chart that you posted here, the one that balances out the margin debt in the Wilshire 5000, margin debt has been pretty steadily climbing really ever since 2009. We have had the odd little dip in there, and that has correlated with a market correction. Yes, in this last year, margin debt has just absolutely skyrocketed, gone parabolic. But you need to balance this out with overall sentiment and optimism still within the market. So margin debt, it's one of those things, right? That it can't just keep skyrocketing forever, but the whole question comes down to time frame. So how do you balance out still the sentiment in the market that, well, U.S. markets are either the best globally or at least still a very good investment, or at least people are thinking that?
Well, margin debt is a sentiment indicator. It's a sign of how excited people are about the future. And usually when they're the most excited is exactly the wrong time to be very excited about the future. That's just how sentiment works. But yeah, you mentioned international capital flows. And there's an analyst named Martin Armstrong that for years now has been saying, valuation doesn't matter. Don't look at these charts. Don't think about, you know, any of this stuff. Because all that really matters is the fact that the rest of the world is in worse shape than the U.S. is, which means that capital is going to be flowing from China and Europe and Russia and Latin America, wherever else you can name. It's going to be flowing into the U.S. to buy U.S. assets because our system is a safe haven. And that means people will pay pretty much whatever they have to get treasury bonds or blue chip stocks or Miami condos or whatever, you know, whatever fairly well-established asset you can think of in the U.S., people will buy them without regard to price. So, you know, instead of, see margin debt is a sign that valuation insensitive investors are dominating the market. And if the world becomes one big valuation insensitive investor, with regard to the US, then okay, that would be the thing that makes this different from past episodes. And, you know, you can't discount it because the rest of the world really is in terrible shape. So if you just look at the US, you think, oh, we're royally screwed. We're making every big mistake that a financial system can make, and we're headed for all this horrible stuff. But yeah, it's relative. And if you look around the world, you see Europe is even in worse shape than us in many ways. China borrowed just ungodly amounts of money, just so much money. And they've got all these kind of rolling currency crises, or sorry, financial crises going where, you know, part of their shadow banking system starts to break down and they fix it by throwing a bunch of new yuan at it. And then somebody else, it goes on and on in China. And so if you're a rich Chinese person, you may want to buy a Seattle condo or something like that, or buy some Google stock or something just to be out of the turmoil you see around you. I get all that, you know, and it's possible. But man, you know, I've been in bubbles one way or another ever since the 1970s, and it's always gone this way. It's always like this, right at the peak of a bubble. And people are always this confident, and there are always new reasons for it to keep going. And it never has so far. So I'm going to come down on the side of history repeating itself one more time and see what happens.
So, John, does that mean we need to be aware that every market is going to drop? If this bubble pops, it is what we've seen over the last decades, really, is that a pop in a bubble, no matter which sector, and this one could be an everything bubble, it pulls everything down at that short period of time.
Yeah, that's the worry with gold and silver, is that they'll get sucked down with everything else. And that happened in 2008, and it happened 1 year ago, basically, or 13 months ago, in the U.S. markets, where everything fell, including gold and silver and the mining stocks, even though they were the safest safe haven assets that you could imagine. You know, they went right back up. But for a couple of months there, a lot of the stocks that I own or that I'm paying attention to in the mining space went down by 50, 60, 70%. And yes, that could happen again, you know. The difference, though, between financial assets and precious metals is that the government's reaction to the next big financial crisis will have to be to just flood the system with tens of trillions of new dollars of liquidity. And that helps precious metals more than anything else. You know, financial stocks might be affected by rising inflation, and they will suffer if the financial system becomes unstable because prices are going up and that makes interest rates unstable, et cetera, et cetera. Precious metals will do well in that kind of an environment. So they, even though they might fall along with everything else, they will do better in the aftermath of a crash if it's coming. But yeah, I agree. It's a big worry for investors in, for instance, the mining stocks. Like if you own physical gold and silver, you don't much care about price fluctuations because that's your long-term bedrock financial asset that you'll leave to your kids if you can. But your mining stocks, you want them to go up so you can cash out and buy your kids jet skis in the moment instead of wait until, you know, they inherit something from you. And that's the risk. And I think it's a real risk. So I'm personally raising a little bit of cash from the mining stocks and putting in some stop loss orders and things like that, just in case we have a replay of 2008 or last March, you know, and we'll see. But I think that's a real risk, and I think it's something we should be paying attention to.
John, let's also talk about the bond market. When it comes to yields, yields have been under a little bit of pressure, still not at the lows, anywhere close to the lows that we saw of last year, but look, yields were rising, and that was putting some pressure on other assets. I was also making everybody look to the Fed saying, when are you going to put an end to this? Seems like the market itself has put an end to that rise in yields, even after last week. All kinds of bond auctions that went off pretty smoothly, especially when you compare them to the last round, all those bond auctions that helped yields pop higher. What do you think about the bond market, yields in general? Do you think the rise in yields is at least temporarily over?
Well, yields did have a really strong rise from the 10-year treasury bottomed at 0.7% in the US and then got up to 1.74% or something like that in a year. That's a huge run. And if it continued, that would have been the thing that popped the bubble. If 10-year rates in the U.S. got up into the twos, that would have pulled mortgage rates up and stifled the housing market and caused all kinds of other trouble. And that alone could have popped the stock market bubble and, by extension, the everything bubble. So that, you know, we were that close to something like that happening. But it became a very crowded trade when everybody was betting on the dollar going up and interest rates going up and bond prices going down. And so now, what's happening now is either a correction in that trend, but the trend is still intact, or, you know, something that's signaling that there are other things at work out in the marketplace. And one of the things that it could be is that, you know, the expectation was that the U.S. government was just going to run massive deficits and do stimulus program after stimulus program and an infrastructure here and, you know, tax cuts there and loan forgiveness over here. And it's getting harder and harder for them to do. They're bringing out program proposals and then meeting some pushback and then scaling them back. And so it's not as clear that we're just going to inflate our way out of this come hell or high water, you know, whatever it does to inflation, whatever it does to the bond market, which it looked like that was going to be our strategy for a while. So it could be that the bond market is just reacting to a little bit more uncertainty about U.S. profligacy. And I think in the end that we will, because that's all the only tool they have left is easy money, we will respond to any trouble with even easier money. And there will be more stimulus programs and there will be an infrastructure program and there will be lots of loan forgiveness, but it may be slower to happen and on a smaller scale than people expected. Still, you know, the amount of money amount of debt we've taken on just in the last few years guarantees some kind of financial trouble going forward, because we were already in really bad shape financially. You know, we were already a almost functionally bankrupt country before the pandemic hit. And now we are we're functionally bankrupt, but even more so than we were, you know? So I think that trouble is coming regardless, just because we borrowed an insane amount of money on top of an already insane amount of money, and we got really nothing for it. I mean, we're not in any better shape than we were 2 years ago. We're just getting back to where we were 2 years ago, except with another, $10 trillion of debt. So trouble is coming. It's very hard to know what the terms of it will be, the details, but all this debt has to have a consequence, and the consequence will have to be chaotic when the time comes.
Now, John, in all fairness, every government, or at least most governments, have also just increased their debt and printed unthinkable amounts of money. So it is always a comparison game, and let's see how long that ball can keep on rolling. Final comment, though, regarding the U.S. dollar, because that's been under a little bit of pressure after bouncing back for the first 3 months of this year. Might be setting up a trading range here, might also be dropping down to some of those lows that we saw at the very tail end of last year that I think should be concerning in general for the U.S. What do you think about the U.S. dollar and how it's playing its role right now?
Well, you know, like I said, that was a crowded trade, the dollar going higher trade, and now it's coming back. But, you know, it's funny how a falling dollar is potentially a disaster and a rising dollar is potentially a disaster. So basically anything that happens has a serious downside. And like you said, it's not just the U.S. I mean, I'm here in the U.S., so I tend to pick on my country, but the whole world is doing this. And that's what makes this unique in human financial history. We've had all kinds of hyperinflations and financial crises and currency crises in the past, but it was usually just one country at a time screwing up in the context of a sound money world. This time, it's everybody making all the same mistakes simultaneously, which is partly why it's been able to go on for so long, but also why when it blows up on us, there's not going to be any place to hide. So I think that's the long-term story, is that there will be no place to hide. The U.S. may seem like a place to hide in the short run, but we're not good enough. You know, we're a big enough mess that, you know, if you might be able to be here for 6 months and be okay while China is blowing up, but then that's the length of your stay. You know, you're not going to want to stay here for very much longer, but there's nowhere else to go other than precious metals and farmland and stuff like that, which are too small to accommodate all the capital that'll be flowing their way. So anyhow, I got far off of your question there, but that's my final statement on the horrible stuff that's going to happen in the world sometime
soon. John, let's wrap it up here. Plenty of gloom and doom here for everybody. A lot of maybe pullbacks coming. and a lot based on, yeah, just government policies, easy money policies. But let's see where this market goes, because in all fairness, I have heard this too much debt argument pretty much my whole life. So when it actually matters, that's a question. But right now, yeah, you look at the U.S. and I look at the U.S., also Canada. And man, Canada's just been printing exorbitant amount of money as well. John, great chatting with you. Thanks as always for your time. We'll chat again in a couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. See ya.